I've got so much to say and I'm trying to condense it all in my head while I'm walking around. I'm trying to make it as short as possible. So I'm continuing on Change My Walk Part 3. And do you remember the things I spoke about? Can you put the first slide up for me, please? That'd be great. 2022 is the year for the family revival, which I really believe that's what I spoke about last week. Jacob turning into Israel. This week I want to talk about reconciliation. Reconciliation. If there's anything of such a scourge upon the body of Christ, that this, more so in this hour like never before, is a thing called unforgiveness. It's a thing called unforgiveness. You heard me say it last week. It's anti-Christ. It's anti everything he stands for, and it's anti his cross. And yet Christians seem to be able to walk in it, or put it to one side, and still come to the body, or still come and worship. And I'll say that term very loosely, worship, holding something within their heart, thinking that because it's not talked about or because it's been put away, that it's all right. I want to tell you that God will keep, or cause you to keep visiting that mountain and keep visiting that situation until that situation is dealt with in our life. You might have a reprieve now and then from the situation or that person. Because most times unforgiveness involves people. You don't hold unforgiveness against a dog. You don't hold unforgiveness against a house. You hold unforgiveness against a person. Amen. You don't say to your dog, "You bad dog, you're not forgiven." Well, you don't do that. But it's people. God uses people. So if I have a situation or an issue with, there's no James's here this morning, let's call James. I have an issue with James, and that issue is not dealt with because I harbour something. And the word harbour literally means park it. We park it. Yeah, we park it. It'll all go away. We'll just park it. I'm going to tell you, no matter where you go, no matter who, you can go to England and you can go to the Presbyterian Church in London and you will meet another James. Yeah, I guarantee it. You will meet James. He might be called John, but he acts just like James. Until the thing that is in me is transformed, and that unforgiveness or that bitterness is dealt with by the power of the cross. And when I look at James, I haven't parked anything. There's nothing for the devil to stir or provoke in my life. And the sad part about it, the devil will always try to provoke and stir that area of my life, specifically a thing called unforgiveness. Now the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Is that what it says? That word place literally means hopo, where we get a topo, where we get our word topography from. Maps. It's a literal place. It's not something out there in the... And before, when World War II was just about the European invasion, they used to fly over, didn't they, France, and looking and getting pictures of all the land and making sure they knew everything about the land before they invaded that. And that's exactly what the devil does. If I give him a foothold or a place, he's searching out my land, where he can land. Ha, unforgiveness. I can invade that area. And he invades that area. But if I walk in forgiveness and mercy, he can't find a place to land. So when we're harboring something, or we've parked something, and I've left it thinking that time will deal with it, time will never deal with it. I've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. Anyone suffered a thing called unforgiveness at any time in their Christian walk? Every hand should have been raised. We've all done it. But until I allow the Spirit to deal with that place and remove that place where the devil has right and is searching for a place, seeking a place in my soul where he can come and invade my soul and touch that bruise in my spirit to cause me bitterness. I've got to deal with these issues in life. Christians cannot run away from issues. We have to face our issues. Can I have a little amen? Next slide, please. So Mark 18, Luke 17, 1, Matthew 18, Luke 17, 1, Mark 11, 25 and 26. It says, woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses what? Don't be surprised that you get offenses. Offenses must come. Offenses will come. You will be offended. You will. There is no, you will get offended. Someone will say something or do something that will get up your nose. It's going to happen. And church is not exempt from that. In fact, this is the breeding ground for it. This is a great place Jesus uses to help you grow. Amen. Not just the preaching of the word, people rubbing you and I up the wrong way. Sandpaper in my life, rubbing up against the grain of my belief, rubbing up against the grain of what I'm thinking, just rubbing me up the wrong way. God uses people in your household. He will use people usually closest to you, your children, your husband, your wife. This is the prayer of most husbands and wives. Lord, please help them. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm here to help you. It's all about me. So when I want to sing a new song and get in tune, I start with this thing called me, 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 me. It's all about me, 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 me. Amen. Show that my video, would you? My little video. It's when we don't let things go, this is what's going to happen. I saw this the other day. There's this dog carrying a box lid.
Diesel, this way.
See, when you allow things to block your vision, you'll start walking into walls.
It's a sin. Diesel, come here, this way. Anda.
When you refuse to let things
Diesel.
Go, you will walk into things like walls. You will lose your direction. You'll go in circles. And you'll keep hitting the wall unless you let go of that thing.
Come on. Come on.
His name is Diesel. He doesn't go too quick. So he will walk. There he goes. That's what happens when I refuse to let something go in my life. You are blinded by what's in front of you. May I say it like this? You will only be anchored in your past because you will never see your future. Isn't it amazing? He's walking by faith now because he certainly can't see where he's going. But he'll keep walking. There you go. So you think, oh, I'm on the right path here. I'm actually moving ahead. And slam, you will meet your wall. Amen?
Come on, buddy.
You and I have got to let things go.
You're such a dummy.
The owner of this dog got another lid and cut slits in the lid so it could see. It refused to let go of the lid that didn't have the slits. Isn't that like Jesus? You want to hold on to something? Can I help you? Just let me help you. So you can see. No, 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 no. I'm not going to let go of this. I refuse to let go of this. So you walk into trees. You walk into cars. You walk into stuff. And you know the sad part about it? You can turn it off now, love. The sad part, we get the message. The sad part about it, we've all have stuff. Amen. Next one, please. Mark 18 and 7. Let me read that. Mark 18 and 7. Woe to the world because offences must come, but woe to the man by whom offences come. 17 and 1 of Luke says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offences should come. It's impossible. You and I have got to get anchored in our hearts. Things will happen. Things will happen. But woe to him through whom they do come. And whenever you stand, Mark 11, 25 and 26, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. This is weighty. This is not flippant. This is extremely weighty. It is conditional. It is conditional. I'm not saying God's grace and God's mercy is ready to be poured out without limitation. But he expects you and I to walk out of the fruit of the kingdom of God and forgive. It is not optional for a Christian not to forgive. It is not a secondary thing. It is a primary importance. Otherwise, you will keep hitting the wall. You and I will keep hitting a wall. And it might seem that you're going okay in your own opinion, walking, and all of a sudden you'll trip, or all of a sudden you'll hit something that's unexpected, and it will cause you to change direction in your thinking. Are you with me? Next slide, please. Unforgiveness is antichrist, everything opposite to who he is and why he came. Why did Jesus come? Did he forgive me of my many offenses? Did he forgive you of your many offenses? Yes, he did. He forgave me of my many offenses. He died, he came, why he died and why he rose again. That is to have new life free from the bondage and blindness of unforgiveness. It is a bondage. The only person that is in bondage is the one that is not forgiving, not the one who's done the issue. Most times the person that's done the issue against me doesn't even know they've done an issue. It is me that have picked up an offense. What have I done? I've picked it up. Offenses will come. I've got to choose not to pick it up. Amen. Unforgiveness is a choice of wanting to hold on to something because of the experience of pain, rejection, or abuse, both physically and emotionally. And I'm not going to limit people's pain. It is real. It can be very real, and it can be painful, and it can drag on for sometimes decades if I do not deal with the issue. But you have a choice, and I have a choice to make when that seed tries to get into my soul. What will I do with it? Will I run with it? Will I give the devil a beachhead so he can possess my land? Or will I stand and say, no, I'm going to walk in forgiveness, mercy and grace, and remove that situation out of my life and resist the devil? Then he will have to
flee.
Rejection or abuse, both physical and emotional, or torment. Unforgiveness can also stem from a form of pride and justification. Thinking you've got a right to hold on to unforgiveness. Thinking I've done it. But Jesus, you don't understand. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we talk to God as if God doesn't understand that he's already seen your tomorrow, that he's already seen your issue, your problem, your situation, and I'm saying to God, you don't understand. And guess what the Holy Ghost is saying? No, 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 no. It's you that doesn't understand. No matter what it costs me, I've got to learn to forgive. May I say it like this? Forgiveness will cost you something. Forgiveness is not free. Forgiveness will cost you something. You will pay, the forgiver will pay a price to forgive. Whether it's humility, whether it's going before God in tears, whether it's asking Jesus to change me, it will cost you something. Did it cost the Father something to forgive me? Please don't minimize it. It will cost me something. It will cost you something to forgive. Unforgiveness is a choice. Unforgiveness can also stem from a form of pride and justification. It will also can be a test to see what's in one's heart. I'm not saying unforgiveness is a test. I'm saying what God's allowing to happen is the test. And if I pick up unforgiveness, and sometimes God allows these tests to happen to show me what's in my own heart. So not all the time is the person to blame. A lot of times God will use that situation, doesn't cause it. God doesn't cause unforgiveness, but he will use the situation of unforgiveness to reveal what's in my heart. It's a test. It's not a test for failure, but rather a test of one's faith to reveal the motives or intents of one's heart that must be surrendered or crucified in Christ. Crucified in Christ. Peter, in Matthew 16, 14 to 23. This thing of unforgiveness, before we go there, this thing of unforgiveness really started in the first family. Cain and Abel. Both were required to bring an offering. Abel brought what? What did Abel bring? Anyone? First fruits, the choicest of lambs. The choicest of lambs. All right? Not just any lamb, the choicest of lambs. What did Cain bring? He brought grain. But it doesn't say it was the best of grain. In the Levitical priesthood, and when God put order into that whole covenant, the grain offering was still acceptable before God. It wasn't that it wasn't going to be acceptable, it wasn't Cain's best. Yet Abel's, it was his best. God accepted Abel's but rejected Cain's. Do you remember the story, Genesis 4? He rejected Cain's. God said to Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Sin lies at the... It's looking for a place. Sin's lying at the door. But you should rule over it. He didn't rule over it. He then took his brother out... And out of jealousy, envy, strife, unforgiveness, bitterness, he murdered. He murdered. John 3 and 15 and 4 and 20 says this, he who hates his brother is a murderer. That's how important it is for us as Christians not to walk around with unforgiveness. I must deal with the issues. If I want to see ahead of where I am now, if I want to let the old things or the former things pass away, I cannot afford to hold on to unforgiveness. It will tie me to the person and it will tie me to my past. Are you with me? I have the power to rule over the sin. If he didn't have the power, God wouldn't have told him to do it. It requires of you. It wants you. It's desiring you. It's longing for you. In other words, it's tempting his flesh. It's longing for you. You should rule over it, not it rule over you. In other words, don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 John 3 and 14 and 16 says, we know that we have passed from death to life. There has to be a knowing in your heart, my heart, that I have passed over from death to life. We know. There's an absolute, I know, that I've passed from death to life because we love the what? We love the what? The brethren. My love toward one another reveals something to another that I've passed over from death to life. There is a knowing in them that they can not just hear it, They can now see it. And I'm telling you now, the world doesn't need another sermon. What it needs is a demonstration. That's why the Holy Ghost fell in the book of Acts. God had to demonstrate, not just speak, but demonstrate his love to them. That's why he had to send a physical person in the name of Jesus Christ to die on a cross. The world is looking for a physical demonstration of love toward one another, and then we will know that we have passed from death to life. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Loving the brethren proves something, shows something, not just to myself, but to others. That's why Jesus had this said to him. He doesn't just have favor with God, he had favor with. And it's no use just the church having favor with God. We have to have favor with man. If I want to influence government, it's not just because I know God. I've got to have favor with God and with man. He who does not love his brother abides where? He who does not love his brother abides in what? Death. I know this sounds heavy, but if I want to step up, I can't afford to live in yesterday. And I certainly can't afford to live in some unforgiveness in my life. If I want to live in life, I must be a lover of the brethren. If I hate the brethren, I'm living in death. And death will separate me from God. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I'm not saying that the Bible is. You have no life abiding in you. You might have religion. You might have a word of knowledge. You might have prophecy. You might have but if you don't love your brethren, you are not abiding in life. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 40, 20, and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm not saying that. The Bible's saying that. Revelations 22 will say this. No liar shall inherit the kingdom of. Unforgiveness is a cancer in the body. It's a cancer that the enemy. That's why so many saints have bruises all over them, suffering bruising and suffering problems and hemorrhaging life, because they won't let go, just like the dog, of that which is blocking their vision and that which is blocking their walk, and they constantly run into the wall. And there's the voice behind the dog. Diesel, Diesel. And guess what? When you got something blocking your vision, there's a voice behind you. David. David, let go of the box. Just drop it, son. No, no. This is my box. I have every right to this box. I refuse to drop the box. I'm not letting go of the box. Whack. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me. Give me the box. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't. Jesus, come on. Well, go for your walk. Hello, Israel. Go for your 40 years. Am I carrying a box? Am I carrying something that's blocking my vision? Am I carrying something else that God wants me to drop? Am I allowing that to hold me back in my past, day in, day out, year in, year out? And all of a sudden, one day, you might get a revelation. They are actually quite nice. Oh, I thought you said. My old man told me a very valuable lesson when I was 15. Because I used to say, I thought, I think. He says, son, I'm going to tell you something. Thought wrong. Until it happens, it's never happened. Don't say it again. Because we can conjure up things in our mind that's never happened. Has anyone ever done that? What if? But you don't understand. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? If you're hating a brother and you're coming into the house of God, or you're in your bedroom, or you're in your place of separation with the Lord, and you say, I love you, Jesus. I just want to tell you how much I love you. I'm a liar. And I can tell you this, because that's exactly what I did for 3 years. My wife got sick of hearing the record play. I love you, Jesus. Just keep your people. I don't need them. And for 3 years, I had this thing in my face. And I'd go for my walk with God. And all of a sudden, I'd hit the wall. And all of a sudden, I'd trip over. Where's God in all this? And all of a sudden, I'm walking again, thinking, this is good. But then I end up back where I was because I just went in a circle and I didn't see it. And one morning, 4 o'clock, I'll never forget it. In fact, it's one of my memorial stones in my life. I wake up and I said, God, I love you. And by his grace and mercy, he knew I could handle the words he was going to speak to me next. He says, you're living a lie. You are living a lie. Then he showed, I never had read it the way that. He showed me that scripture. How can you love the one, if you don't love the one you can see, how can you love the one you can't see? I'm living a lie. I was in a place of deception. I was in a place of deception. And until I got to that place of bowing my knee to his will and saying, Lord, change me. Help me. I forgive. I choose today to forgive. I could move on from my pain. I could move on from the letdown. I could move on from the strife and walk in newness of life, because then I was just parked in death. And when I'm so caught up with myself, the only thing you're worried about is you. Turn with me to Matthew 16, 14 and 23. I'll just read it because I haven't got time. 16, 14, 23. Peter rebukes Jesus regarding the walk and the way of the cross. Jesus asks a question, who do men say that I am? The disciples answered back and say, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this. Then Jesus shouts out, well, who do you say I am? Because he really wasn't worried about what they said. Who do you say that I am? I want to ask you the question this morning, who do you say that he really is? Who do you say that I am? Peter gets revelation and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was amazed. And I'll tell you why Jesus was amazed, because the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen. And he heard the voice of the Father, the same voice that Jesus was hearing. He was amazed that God the Father had spoke to him. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he told him the death he must suffer. Peter being Peter, I'll rephrase that, Simon changed to Peter. Simon the reed, Simon the hearer, changed to Peter the little rock. Grabs a, you know, big chested. I got a revelation. Grabs a hold of Jesus, takes him to one side and rebukes Jesus. Jesus said this to him, get behind me, Satan. Within five verses, Peter turned to Simon, turned to Satan. 5 verses. That's how quick we can change. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. The devil can never know the mind of God. The devil can never understand the mind of God. He's only mindful of man. Therefore, if I get my mind into a carnal state, he knows my state. But if I stay in the spirit and the mind of the spirit, he does not know the plans, thoughts, or intents of God, because he is not mindful of them. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, and if I walk in the carnal mind with unforgiveness, I am now in enmity against God. I'm in a battle with the Spirit. For the carnal mind, Romans, is enmity against God. You are now in warfare with God Himself. You are not mindful of the things of God, but men. His mind was only full of the ways of man. Satan cannot know, nor does he know, the mind of God. That's why he can only take advantage of the mind that is full of man. So if the devil's attacking me, if you're under attack, the first thing you better check is, number one, what's my mind full of? Am I in the spirit? Am I in the flesh? What is my mind full of? Have I given him a beachhead to attack me? Is there unforgiveness in my life? 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 tells us to test ourselves, to prove ourselves whether we're in the faith. Next slide, please. So a mind that is set on unforgiveness is a mind that is carnal and is offensive towards God. I do not want to offend God. A carnal mind offends God. Ephesians 4 and 26, 32 says this, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. I've spoken about that. Forgiveness and repentance removes that place where the devil can get a foothold. Let no word, corrupt word proceed out of my mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that may impart grace to the hearers. What's coming out of my mouth? Life and death and the power of my, and you shall eat the fruit thereof. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. If I'm doing 29 and 31, I'm grieving the Holy Ghost. If I'm doing anything in 29 and 31, you are now grieving the Holy Ghost. Who loves Jesus? The last thing I want to do is grieve the Holy Ghost. I must deal with the issues. I can't afford to camp around the issues. I will grieve the Holy Spirit if I fulfill them once. Next one, please. Unforgiveness binds me to the past. 5 points. Unforgiveness ties me to the person who hurt you. Unforgiveness keeps your pain fresh and active. Unforgiveness hinders my growth. Unforgiveness leads to the bitter waters of life, mistrust and rejection. Bitterness, whose root system begins to spread and contaminate not just you, but everyone around you. When someone has a grievance, and instead of going to the person they've got the grievance with, and they murmur to someone else, you will always attract a similar spirit. A gossip will always attract a gossip. A righteous man will always attract a righteous man. For how can they walk together unless they agree? Next one, please. Forgiveness can be costly and it can offend. Like our Lord Jesus, we pay a price by choosing to be Christ-like. It will cost you something. It will cost you something. It will cost you something. It may cost me tears. It may cost me humility. It may cost me to deal with various feelings of rejection. Or could it all be just be a test on my soul that God is using to really show me what's in my heart? Can I as a believer take offense against God? Did Jesus ever offend anyone? You better believe it. He offended people left, right, and center. Can I take an offense against God when he asked me to let something go? Can I take an offense against God when he says, crucify that son? Can I take an offense against God when I think what I should give him should be enough and he asks for more? Can I, as Christians, we can take offense against God. But if you know God, all things work out together for the, and he only ever chastens those whom he. Oh, we as church folk, we can take offense against God. We can take offense against God when he brings instruction to my life and commands me to rule over that sin which lies at the door of my heart and has a desire for me, like Cain. Could the offense really just be a testing of my heart? I'll tell you all about Mara. Israel came out of Egypt. They crossed over. The sea swallowed up the army of Egypt. And all of a sudden, who was Moses' sister? Good girl. Miriam started singing a song. They were clapping, and other people, other women, clapping and dancing, singing a song, worshipping. She then starts prophesying. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. I shall sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord, my God. So she started prophesying a song. And everyone was happy. Everyone was churchy. Everyone was worshipping. Everyone was doing the right thing. Then all of a sudden, from that happy, clappy place, they go to a place called Mara. And Mara means bitter waters. Oh, my Lord. Would God actually lead you to a place? Bitter waters. We can't drink this from this happy, clappy church to this complaining, moaning, groaning people. We can't do this. Moses sought the Lord. So when you're in this place of bitterness, who's the first person you go with a bitterness to? To the Lord. He went to the Lord and said, Lord, the Lord shows him a tree. He didn't see the tree. The Lord had to show him a tree. Throw the tree in the water. The bitter waters were made what? Sweet. When I take the bitterness and I apply the tree, the cross of Christ, to my bitterness, he will turn the bitterness into sweetness. But I've got to ask him to show me the cross. Lord, show me my cross. Show me what it means. Show me the cost to you, what the cross meant for you, what the cross did for you. Show me the cross. Show me where the tree is so I can apply the cross to my bitter place. God wants me to take the cross, apply it to the bitter place. So when there's healing at the cross, there's deliverance at the cross, there's forgiveness at the cross, there's mercy at the cross. I've got to find the cross. I've got to find it for me so I can apply it to my situation. Are you with me? The bitter waters were made sweet because he found the tree. Oh, I can't go to a person to make my bitter water sweet. If I go to the wrong person, they're only just going to compound the bitterness. I agree with you. They shouldn't have done that. How dare they speak to you like that? They'll compound the issue. Or you'll get some people that will disagree with you and you think, well, I haven't got a friendship with them because they didn't agree with me because I want justification. No, 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 no. The only thing that can deal with my bitterness is the cross. The cross. Next slide, please. Whatever might be bitter in my soul, whatever has caused the bitterness, if I'm stuck in my Mara, if I'm just remembering the good times, that moving ahead, to become that, for the bitterness becomes sweet is when the Lord shows me his tree, the power of the cross. I need the power of the cross to be operating in my life. I need that. Because unforgiveness, I will have to allow the power of the cross to deal with the bitterness within me and crucify that which is of the flesh, which has been offended. Your flesh will always take offense. It will try and twist your soul into thinking the wrong things and give a beachhead for the enemy. But if I take it all to Jesus, I understand the power of his cross and the grace of his love. You cannot love someone unless you first know how you've been loved. Amen. Next one, please. Like the dog, am I stuck refusing to let go of that something that stops me seeing? Am I tired of hitting my head against a brick wall, walking in circles with the cross and all which he accomplished on that is here this morning to bring exchange? Only he can bring the exchange. To bring the exchange, a sweetness for your bitterness. Having Colossians 2:14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He's paid the price. It is supposed to live on the cross, not in your heart. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in what? In the cross. He triumphed over everything on the cross. Amen. If you take anything home, take this home this morning. Good sense, Proverbs 19:11. Good sense, keeping one's mind set on the one who is good. Who's good? The Lord thy God, he is good. Makes a man restrain his anger. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression or take an offense. Do you know it's a glory to you when you choose to forgive? It's a glory to you before the Lord when you choose not to take offense. It's a glory, it's a reward to you. And God doesn't bypass it. Amen. But I've got to do the choosing. Hallelujah. Is there anything I'm carrying that is hindering my vision? Am I like the dog running around the car park, hitting a brick wall, running in circles, refusing to hear the voice behind me? He wants to deliver me from the box that I might walk free and let go of my past, that I might walk in all the life he has given me, because Jesus has come to give me life and life. Abundance. Let's stand. I could talk all day. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I don't want us to look at the big things in our lives. My Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. Hear me. It's the little things. That word, that thought, that deed. And the big things only start from the little things. Amen. Is there anything I'm carrying that I shouldn't be carrying? Is there anything that's keeping me bound to my past? Is there anything that's keeping me bound to a person? And I haven't let go. The cross is here this morning to bring exchange to your life so you might walk in the liberty of the Lord. For where his spirit is, there is liberty. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you this morning, this is between you and him. No one else. You and him. If you're carrying something you shouldn't carry, you lift it up before the Lord this morning and say, here it is, Jesus. I'm going to hang it on the cross. I'm going to bring it to the foot of the cross. I need the tree to be thrown in my bitter waters to be made sweet again. Hallelujah. If that's you, just raise your hands before the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer. Hallelujah. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, we don't want to camp around our Mara. I want to walk in the fruitfulness of the Spirit. This morning, Father, I take a hold of your cross and I apply it to that area in my life. And I say this morning, Spirit, change me. Change me. Help me. And Father, I thank you, there's deliverance in your name. There is healing in the power of the cross. There's forgiveness and the grace and the mercy in the cross. And I thank you this morning. I let go. I choose to let go. I hear the voice of my master today. I choose to let go that I might walk in everything you have for me with clarity of direction and purpose in Jesus' name. I receive it by grace. I thank you, Lord, it's severed in the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, my God, no longer is any beacher for the enemy to take ground in my life. But this morning, I take back the ground what the enemy has stolen from me in Jesus' name. I receive it by faith, and I thank you for it. And if that's you this morning, give him a great amen. Because he's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And just maybe, sometimes I just have to look and say, Jesus, is this my test? Is this my test? He will never give you an exam without the answers. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week, a great week in Jesus' name. Amen.